gather, strengthen, grow. Being the church. Let's pray. Father, I love the way that you lead us as a church. And I love who we are as a church. What you say to us about why we're here, our purpose, your plans, your purposes that you invite us to be part of. It's an honor and a privilege. And so we say yes to that. We say yes to listening. We say yes to watching. We say yes to following you. And we thank you for that honor and for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, those of you who were here last Sunday, Dushan, I met you this morning. Dushan is here for the second time. He was here, and our friend Roman was here last weekend. So if you were here last Sunday, you know that Joy and I weren't here. We were playing hooky. Do you know what that team, have you heard that term before, playing hooky? Playing hooky is being absent without a justifiable excuse. Like they would say that if you're missing from school or you were playing hooky. Actually, our absence, I think, was justifiable. We were able to sneak away for a short time of rest. And it was needed and it was good. And you were blessed by our absence. Yes, I'm sure you missed us, as we did you. But it's good that your pastors, your leaders, all of us really are rested. Amen? So you're blessed when you give us a time of rest, when you give your pastors a time of rest. So thank you. We did really miss you. You know, you wake up on a Sunday morning and you're not at BIF. There's really a big piece of our heart that's missing, but it was good for us. Are you guys reading through the book of Acts, apart from our time here on Sundays? I'll just ask that as a rhetorical. You don't need to raise your hands. Let me encourage you to do that. I don't know from week to week whether the Lord will lead those of us who are teaching through every scripture in each chapter of the book of Acts. But it's important whether we do or we don't that you're immersing yourself in this book, that you're getting everything out of it that the Lord wants you to get out of it, that you're seeing the complete picture of who the Lord wants us to be as the church. I understand that our friend Roman, he brought a great message last weekend, yes? Great timing on our part, by the way. Go on holiday as Acts chapter 5 comes along so that Roman can navigate through the story of Ananias and Sapphira, right? Let the hard stuff, give it to Roman. That's a hard one. I mean, have you read that story? I've read it many times, and it's still challenging to me, but in a good way. It always pushes me to know the depth of my trust in the sovereignty of my Father in heaven. And if you want to know more about that and what I mean by that, ask me out for coffee. We'll chat about that. I'd love to talk about that. Roman shared also about how the Holy Spirit continued to work through powerfully in and through the apostles. They're a big thorn in the side of the Sanhedrin right now, right? But the apostles are not letting the risk of persecution deter them from their calling or tame their passion or persistence for that calling. And persecuted they were. I mean, big time. Put in prison, led out by an angel of the Lord to preach in the temple courts again, hauled back in to stand before the Sanhedrin again, telling the Sanhedrin that they, the apostles, must obey God rather than humans, poking the bee's nest, remember, again, by reminding the Sanhedrin that they killed Jesus. So, the apostles were flogged now. And they were released. And what was their response? They were rejoicing. It doesn't make sense in the head. But they were rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace in the name of Jesus. This kind of ministry and this kind of response to resistance and persecution only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's early. We're only through the first five chapters of the book of the Acts, book of Acts, but already it's an incredible story, developing, giving us a picture of the early believers faithfully being the church. You and I are the church. Joy and I love that you continue to be the church, even when we're gone, when we're absent. serving the flock in so many different ways, submitting yourselves to the teaching of others who the Lord brings in to share and bring wisdom, encouragement. It's not always easy to be a Jesus follower, is it? Remember Jesus' words from the Gospel of John that he shared with his disciples as he's preparing them for his coming trial, crucifixion, and resurrection. For their coming season of life, the apostles' coming season of life, absent from his physical presence here on earth, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." As a believer, one might be tempted to think that tribulations come exclusively from the non-believing world that we're called to love unconditionally. Much of them do. But tribulations can and also do come from the believing world, the church, you and I, that we're also called to love unconditionally. I had a pastor friend jokingly remark one time that being the church would be easy if it weren't for the people. It was meant as a joke, of course. But we're difficult as people, right? We're human. Jesus said he's overcome the world, and as believers, we have Jesus in us, so we are overcomers. No matter where our challenges and tribulations come from, the world, the church, wherever, we're well prepared to not just survive those challenges, but to thrive in and through them. Our journey through Acts is revealing an amazing picture of the early church, of its developing rhythms and core values, strengthening the church by generously taking care of one another, growing the church by faithfully sharing the gospel. It's all fueled by the Holy Spirit. We can't expect to share powerfully or care powerfully without the power of the Holy Spirit. And as they gather, as they strengthen, as they grow, the Lord is adding to their numbers daily. Some pastors would be dancing at the thought of the growth experienced by the church in the first century. Others would shudder. Growth is not easy, but it's normal. It's natural. And a should be prayed for, desired, and expected part of the life of the church. Today we dive into chapter 6. You can open your Bibles there. It's the shortest book in the book of Acts. A powerful chapter showing us how growth presents challenges, but also how challenges are good and can and should be used to strengthen and unify the body. And there are important lessons in this chapter for an international church, a church just like Bratislava International Fellowship. I believe it speaks not only to who we are today, but gives us great insight into developing further into the church that Jesus has in mind. Let's begin reading in verse 1. In those days, the number of disciples was increasing. The Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Before Luke even addresses the issue at hand, he once again reports on the growth of the church. Luke never misses an opportunity to talk about the number of believers, of disciples being added. In fact, you might even say he's a little obsessed with numbers. But I believe that Luke is simply testifying to the gospel being shared faithfully and powerfully, to the church being the church and making disciples, just as Jesus has commissioned the church to do. He's passionate about not missing the details, not missing the opportunity to give glory to God and to the power of the Holy Spirit, working through people just like you and me to strengthen and grow the church that Christ died for. Pastors sometimes get a bad rap for paying attention to the numbers. They get comments like, "You only care about the number of people in the pew." But testifying to the growth of the church is pointing out the fruit of the Holy Spirit's power in being Jesus' witness to the end of the earth. Unless our growth is through borrowing believers from other congregations, then we should give glory to God as he adds to our numbers. Amen? But it's a short report, and Luke makes this point as an intro to sharing about one of the first challenges by the early church. Not the challenges of persecution faced by Peter and John from outside the church, by the Jewish leaders who felt like their authority was being threatened. Those are challenges of a different nature. But rather the challenges of the everyday rhythm of a growing multicultural church. Does that sound familiar? A growing multicultural church. Recognize that this is the first multicultural church. You may recall that thanks to the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out at Pentecost, Hebrew Jews and Hellenistic Jews are all part of the same body of believers now. And it's the Hebrew Jew leaders, Peter and John, and others, who, while they're doing what they're called to do, are essentially now being called out for neglecting something of importance within the church. Why are they neglecting it? Not on purpose, not out of spite, not out of even what I would call carelessness. They're neglecting it out of ignorance. Ignorance, you understand, is just not knowing something. It's not knowing something and not understanding it. It's just like flat not knowing it. Cultural ignorance, situational ignorance, call it what you want, but ignorance. And the Hellenist Jews are doing the proper thing. They're not talking behind their backs. They're not leaving the church. But they're bringing the issue to the attention of the church leaders so that the problem can get resolved. And the cultural understanding can grow, uniting and strengthening the church. I won't go into all the cultural reasons that the Hebrew Jews and the Hellenistic Jews were different. Suffice it to say there were many, and language was just the start. What's important for us to understand from this is that right here at BIF, there are and will always be cultural differences between people who call this home. We're an international church. We all share a common language, but there will always be cultural differences. So as a multicultural church, as a multicultural family, we need to recognize the gift and opportunity that being a multicultural church is. We need to invest through prayer, through fellowship, through ministry together, to build understanding of our cultural differences. And then we need to celebrate and champion that diversity in order to strengthen each other, serve powerfully together, and grow our multicultural church. Just like the Hebrew Jews of the early church, we will find challenges of cultural diversity, but we must take every opportunity to strengthen the church in and through those challenges. So what did the apostles do that we can learn from? Remember, Peter, John, the apostles, and many of the leaders of the church are Galileans. Country folk, really, if you think about it, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, witnessing and moving in signs and wonders like never before. I mean, the testimony of Peter and John in the first five chapters is amazing. People are being healed simply by being touched by Peter's shadow. But they're different from the Hellenistic Jews. They're country folks. They're not city slickers. They're from Jerusalem. Not from Jerusalem, but they're country folk. And they are the God-appointed leaders of this church. And these seemingly, according to the Sanhedrin anyway, unschooled, remember that? Unschooled, ordinary men. They're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is He, the Holy Spirit, who guides them in their decision-making process on how to solve this problem and continue to lead the church well. That's the key. They're not relying on their own understanding. You might get tired of hearing me say this, but I won't apologize. We must be filled. We must be baptized with the Holy Spirit to effectively carry out our roles in the Great Commission. To be the church, it's important enough that Jesus said, wait. Wait to be filled before you go do the work that He's called us into. Remember the surprise at Pentecost when everyone present exclaimed, aren't all of these who are speaking our languages Galileans? They were shocked, culturally speaking, that these simple country folk who were from Galilee were speaking in a tongue that was not native to them, and that they'd clearly not learned through education. And now, that cultural boundary that the Holy Spirit helped them to overcome is back and staring the apostles right in the face as a challenge, as an opportunity. Notice Luke didn't simply say that some of the widows were being overlooked. He said the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Let's look at the issue at hand. Luke makes it clear that there is a cultural divide taking place here. It's not a divide between men and women, between young and old. It's not a divide between differing doctrines or theology. It's not even a gender divide. It's a cultural divide between the Hebrew Jews and the Hellenistic Jews that are now part of the same church. And lest you point the finger simply at culture for this, remember it was the church being the church that set this multicultural growth and challenge in motion. They were witnessing in boldness and power. And then the Holy Spirit empowered manifestation of human spoken languages through those who had previously never spoken them before, broke the barrier between the Hebrew Jews and those of other languages and cultures. They were being the church with the power of the Holy Spirit. The plans and purposes of our God, whose heart and commission it is to reach every tongue and tribe, is being carried out in the midst of the harvest. Believe it or not, things are going according to plan here. The new church is learning what the new normal looks like, and they're getting a taste of the challenges that a daily rhythm of a multicultural church presents. And this happened at a very early time in the life of the early church, going from being monocultural church, Hebrew Jews following Jesus and reaching Hebrew Jews, to being a cross-cultural church, Hebrew Jews following Christ and reaching Hellenistic Jews and others. Bratislava International Fellowship has a very unique call and opportunity to be just like the church that Acts chapter 6 is describing. You mean a church with challenges, Pastor Gary? Yes, but we should view those challenges as a good thing. Our very unique call and opportunity is one of a church in which we will always have the blessing and challenges of cross-cultural ministry in our midst. Because the harvest field which the Lord is asking us to work in is defined by a common language, not by a common culture. Our harvest field is not one of both common soil and common crop. It's not a huge field of wheat as far as the eye can see. Our harvest field is one whose common soil is the language we speak, but the harvest that awaits is from a crop that is as diverse as the character of our God. Wheat, barley, alfalfa, corn, oats, rye, millet, all planted in the same field, right here in Bratislava. And Jesus is looking for workers to be the church because the harvest is plentiful. Look at the diversity of those who already call this home. Brothers and sisters from Slovakia, Indonesia, Colombia, China, Philippines, Namibia, Romania, Kenya, Ghana. I know I'm forgetting some. Even a few Americans sprinkled in. The Lord loves it. He loves this, and he's eagerly watching to see how we embrace the blessings and challenges of a growing multicultural church, like the early church did, and continue to grow. Verse 2, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Clearly the apostles realized the seriousness of the issue. How do we know that? They gathered all the disciples. Now, this is not the small group of 12 disciples that existed prior to Jesus' crucifixion. This is now the growing and expanding church that Luke has testified to in the first five chapters already. Nowhere else in the New Testament, to my knowledge, is such an event recorded, the gathering of all the disciples to resolve an issue within the church. We don't know how many of the thousands of disciples in the world at that time the word all represents, but suffice it to say, this was not a small meeting. But these are healthy meetings. Some church congregations call them family meetings, where the entire body of a church is invited to participate in the review or a discussion of church affairs, apart from the normal teaching on a Sunday. In fact, we will begin to formalize these types of gatherings at BIF once or twice a year. So once this group of disciples has gathered, the apostles waste no time in helping to guide the discussion by reflecting to the group what they understand their role in the matter is by saying, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables." This is not a condescending statement about waiting on tables. It's a factual statement by the leaders of the church, realizing that there are other needs in the church besides teaching, and they, the teachers, would be diminishing or neglecting their calling and responsibility of teaching if they also pick up the responsibility of seeing to the needs of the daily food distribution. It's not unusual in church cultures today for members of the church to expect the pastor or pastors of the church to do everything. This thinking is not healthy, and more importantly, it's not biblical. And the apostles show that with their handling of the issue of the food distribution. They recognize and address the need that exists by wisely selecting others to meet the need so as not to diminish the role that God has given them to teach. But relying on the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, they also recognize the importance of not just choosing and appointing individuals to lead and to address the issue, but to use a process, watch this, to use a process that ensures the selection of the best people to both understand the problem and resolve the problem. And in doing so, they will build unity and strength in the church. They trust their disciples to know those who labor among them. This is also a healthy model. Leaders trust the leaders who serve with them, regardless of culture, regardless of age, regardless of gender. And as we will see, the disciples' approach yields the best choice for the needs at hand. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and to ministry and to the ministry of the Word. Now, I don't know if there's anything significant about the number 7 here, but I do know there's something significant to the direction they give for qualification. Known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. If we lead our church like the apostles of the first century, then we will be wise to seek out and empower our brothers and sisters in the same way. Letting the Lord show us those who are full of the Spirit and wisdom. The apostles, who are Hebrew Jews, are part of the Aramaic-speaking part of this multicultural church. The Hellenists, on the other hand, most likely speak Greek, but probably had some Aramaic language skills. So there's a language issue here, but not one that could not be overcome. Here's my point. The apostles, the leaders of the church, country boys, Aramaic speakers, are turning the process of selecting leaders to address this issue of food distribution in the church over to the people of another language and culture, to Greek-speaking Hellenists who are most likely city folk. They weren't delegating. They weren't giving menial tasks. They were empowering them to lead with them. Some of you here have already said, "I'm willing to serve." Thank you. Thank you, and serve you will. Many of you are already serving and are such a treasure and a blessing to this fellowship. If you call BAF your home, then know that you will be sought out to serve, to lead. It doesn't take much from each to be the church that Jesus envisions. But it does take some from all. There are unmet needs here at BIF, even as I speak. There's much to do to strengthen the church and to grow the church, to serve our family here at BIF, and to take the gospel out that door to Bratislava. So we will serve and we will lead together. And what was the response from the multitude of disciples? This proposal pleased the whole group. When we submit to the will, to the wisdom, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and there's transparency and understanding in the process, kingdom decisions are always received with favor. The apostles weren't saying they knew everything. In fact, quite the opposite. But they were saying, we see you, we hear you, and we're responding because you, our Hellenist brothers and sisters, are part of the family, part of the church. And your well-being, along with everybody else's in the church, is vital to the health and the unity of the church. Let me just say that at BIF, your pastors see you, and we hear you. And though we share a common language, we recognize and celebrate the diversities of cultures we represent. That's by design. And it's beautiful. Everyone that's part of this family, that is of this fellowship, is vital to the health and unity of BIF. Well, the apostles' approach spoke volumes to the Hellenist disciples as they conveyed to them that they were part of the family. And important to what God wanted to do in and through all of them. So they empowered them to lead with them, and the Hellenists gladly accepted. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The Hellenists chose seven who they knew to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Stephen is mentioned first. And in fact, it is said of him that he was a man full of faith. This is what Luke said, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Remember, these are all disciples, believers, Jesus followers. So they already have faith in Jesus that makes them disciples. So for Luke to additionally say Stephen is full of faith, is likely his way of saying that Luke's faith was amplified, a special faith, like the faith we talked about with the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of faith. We won't complete the chapter or the story of Stephen today. We will do that on a Sunday very soon. But you will want to come along for the ride as we see how his example, Stephen's example, his passion, his faith, his life, and his death truly become the catalyst for the next radical expansion of the early church. Stephen is accompanied in the leadership of this ministry by six other Hellenists, including Nicholas from Antioch. Nicholas was not born an ethnic Jew. He was a proselyte, a Gentile who converted to Judaism. Gentile to Judaism, now a follower of Christ. Boundaries of culture and religion are starting to buckle at the power of the gospel being spread by the faithful disciples of the early church. Do you see that? But understand the picture. The apostles haven't even begun to step out into the full geographic scope of the Great Commission as Jesus spoke about in Acts chapter 1. Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They are still in Jerusalem, but they're getting a taste of it as those who come to Jerusalem, who came at Pentecost, were literally delivered to the Galilean Hebrew Jews, who were then given the gift of tongues to be his witnesses to them right there in Jerusalem. Such is the case with BIF. While we're called to send from our Jerusalem, from Bratislava, to all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we will. Bratislava will send. The Lord is also delivering the nations to us. It's not with a common culture, but with a common language. That we will be His witnesses from BIF to the nations right here in Bratislava. Finally for today, verse 7. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is as far as I'm going to go today. Luke, the numbers guy, remember Luke, once again testifying to the fact that bumps in the road, issues of being a cross-cultural church with food distribution problems, do not deter the spread of the good news. I love that he's continually testifying to overcoming challenges and continued growth in the early church. And in fact, navigating and overcoming these bumps make the church stronger and more prepared to be the church and his witnesses to all. The gospel is even crossing the boundaries of religion, as Luke testifies to the first time that priests, Jews from the tribe of the Levites who had the faithful responsibility over the tabernacle or temple worship, were becoming followers of Jesus. Not likely the high priests, who were the wealthy and aligned with the Sadducees, were persecuting the apostles. They would have had too much to lose to part ways with the Sadducees, but more likely the priests who were poor and humble servants in the temple. Luke's point, the power of the Holy Spirit continues to grow the church and the gospel to spread, even crossing boundaries of culture and religion and whatever. Thank you, Lord. May it continue to be so today. Amen. It's so important that we deeply understand this rhythm of being the church. It's so important. The rhythm of gathering the church, the rhythm of strengthening the church and growing the church, of being empowered by the Holy Spirit as He fills us and gives us strategic paths to spread the gospel across boundaries of culture and religion. Clearly there are challenges, tribulations, and obstacles. But God's plans and purposes will not be deterred by those obstacles, and neither should we. With the power of the Holy Spirit and the incredible testimony and example of the early church as our guide, God has great, great, great hope and promise for BIF being a church to reach the nations right here in Bratislava. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege. Continue to give us wisdom and vision and mold our hearts to walk in that privilege, to follow you and align with your plans and purposes. Thank you, Father, that you have brought the nations to Bratislava and that we have a mission field right out the door. We celebrate our cultural diversity. We build unity and strength in our common language to reach those who are other English speakers here in Bratislava. And we pray with hope and great expectation that you will strengthen and grow the church in and through us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.